It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's the week of the fall equinox when we turn towards the darkness, and we have this week. It's been chilly, it's been cloudy, and the sun, less of it. Sun going down, people eating dinner by lamplight again, and all sorts of odd things happening when the darkness comes on us. Darlene was down at the Chatterbox Cafe. She was just finishing up the breakfast rush, and she saw something at the back door. It was a coyote. She walked back there to shoo it away, and then she looked in its eyes, and she saw the eyes of her old Uncle Jack, who died duck hunting. It's the duck hunting season now, starting today. He died 30 years ago. Here was the coyote looking at her, unafraid. She opened up the door. The coyote looked very much like Jack in a way. She went in. She made the coyote his favorite breakfast, fried eggs on hash browns and hanger steak, and brought it back. And the coyote bowed his head and thanked her and ate it, and then looked up at her, raised its eyebrows, and she went back in. She got a cup of coffee, put cream in it, and brought it back to him, and he just looked away in disgust. So she took that away, brought back a cup of black coffee, and he blew on it just the way Uncle Jack used to. And he drank it all up, and looked at her, and she brought him another one. It was mysterious. She didn't tell anybody about it, because it was too strange. So you wonder, how come I know? Well, she wrote it on a postcard, that's how. And I saw it. She leaned the postcard up against the toaster, and I was able to read it because she has very clear handwriting. And so that's how I happened to know. They're a bit worried about Val Tollefson down at the Lutheran Church. She's in the adult Bible study group, which meets before the service, and he seems to be suffering from dementia. He was talking about the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, and then he started talking about oranges and elephants, and he was humming a tune that sounded like "Out in the West Texas Town of El Paso, I fell in love with an Indian, with a Mexican girl." And then he gave a closing prayer, which struck people as odd. He went something like, "Wobegon, Wobegon, we are the most, we are hot as buttered toast, we're the best town between the coasts, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen." So they brought it up to Pastor Liz, and she didn't know what she could do about this. Dementia and religious fervor sometimes are very close together. We see that more and more these days. And he's been writing huge checks and putting them in the collection basket on Sunday morning, checks for $2,000-$3,000. She hasn't cashed any of them. She's just kind of waiting to see how this all develops. Now, it's an odd time, the week of the equinox. People feel sort of sad with the darkness coming on, but you can't really feel sad about winter because you're too busy getting ready for it. You've got to get the yard ready. You got to cover the roses. You got to get out the storm windows and the storm doors. You got to get the quilts down. You got to open up the big boxes of boots and scarves and warm clothing and so forth. And you have to get down the quilts. And there's this great urge to clean house and to just clear the decks, you know, and get rid of the books that you're never going to read and the clothes you're never going to wear and the tools that you're never going to use. And just strip life down to the things that you really love and the things that are essential, and be lean and elegant and sleek and efficient. So people do that. And then they head up the hill and around the bend and down by the creek and down to the town dump, and they drop it all in there. It's our historical society, the dump in Lake Wobegon. You go up there and you see the remains of those enormous fiberglass duck decoys that the Sons of Canute got back in the 1950s. 18-foot-long hollow-body fiberglass duck decoys where the hunter lay inside the decoy and pedaled and turned a little propeller and looked out through a periscope in the duck's neck. And then when you saw incoming mergansers, you kicked out a trap door that was under the duck's tail and you shot from down there. But they were sort of tippy. They weren't seaworthy. And once a Canute got stuck inside one, and he panicked, and he was beating on the shell, and people came to help him, and then he blasted through the skin of the duck decoy and almost killed some of his rescuers. And the thing sank, and they hauled him out, and they took all of them away to the dump. And if you talk to Canutes nowadays, they'll say, well, that was before my time. I don't remember that. But it was not before my time, and I'm the same age they are. So somebody has to remember. You'll see that old 1953 Chevy up there, which Florian Krebsbach had buried in his backyard for years and years and years, used it as a septic tank, and then it it filled up that October day, and there's no mistaking that. The toilet's backed up, and his son Carl had to come up and dig that thing out with a backhoe and put it up on a flatbed truck and haul it off to the dump. But the fumes from the thing, the wind was from his back, just overwhelmed Carl, and he got lost, and he drove into town instead of around town. And he drove into town on Main Street on the very same afternoon that the homecoming parade was marching toward him. And his daughter Carla was the homecoming queen. And there she was, sitting up in a white convertible in her white organdy prom dress. And here was her father driving a farm-all tractor and hauling a 1953 Chevy that was full of family history. Carla married a young man who is a pet orthodontist, and they live out in Los Angeles in a beautiful apartment overlooking the sea there in Malibu, and they live a very elegant life. But, you know, they do keep antique cars in California, and every so often she will look at a 1953 Chevy, and it will all come back to her, that whole afternoon. And the remains of that old pontoon boat up there, too, the Agnes D. Wally owned it down at the Sidetrack Tap. He used to lease it out to people. And that's the pontoon boat that the 22 Lutheran pastors were riding on, some bigger than others. And they all got aboard, and the thing sank. It kept going for a while. To people on shore, it looked like a genuine miracle out of Scripture. It looked like 22 people walking on water. But the ship sank in 4 feet of water, and all those Lutheran pastors in their earth tones and their turtlenecks and their little medallions, their crosses, you know, the fish, the aboriginal things, the hush puppies, they just stood there in 4 feet of water, looking up at the sky and looking perfectly calm as if this were what they had intended all along. It's all up there in the town dump. You might want to go up there. Nobody from Lake Wobegon is going to direct you up there, but that is our historical society up there. It's the place where the Norwegian bachelor farmers go around this time of year. They go shopping up there. Find what they need. Well, that's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.